This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called 40 Days of Prayer. In these teachings, you'll learn how to cultivate a powerful prayer life and experience breakthroughs in your relationship challenges, financial difficulties, bad habits, health crises, and many other areas of your life. Don't miss a single day of this life-changing series. Now, in just a little while, we're going to tell you how you can get Bible verse scripture cards with the key verses for this series, 40 Days of Prayer. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com. Or, if you want, you can connect with us by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called, When God Says No.
You know, many times in the Bible, God promises to answer your prayers. One of the shortest examples of that is right there at the top of your outline, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, that says this, "Call to me, and I might answer you." No, that's not what it says, is it? "Call to me, and I what? Will." You might circle that. Not might, not maybe, not if I'm in a good mood, not having a bad hair day. He says, "Call to me, and I will answer you." That's a promise from God. God answers every single prayer. Now, he doesn't answer them the way you like it every time, but it's an answer. No is an answer. Wait is an answer. Grow up is an answer. In a little while is an answer. In my way is an answer. God never leaves a prayer unanswered. Every prayer is answered. It's not every prayer God says yes to. And there are many, many reasons for that. Now, there are a lot of examples in the Bible where God says no to great men and women of faith. Prayers that were prayed by Abraham, God says no. Moses, no. Daniel, no. Job, Jonah, no. Elijah, no. Peter, Paul, God said no to them. Jesus, yes, even God's son, there are prayers that were, quote, unanswered, meaning they weren't answered the way Jesus asked. Even his own son, God said no. Now, that can be confusing. And I didn't want to close this series without dealing with when God says no. Because you're going to have many no's from God in your lifetime. That can be confusing. It can be, well, if God is truly loving and if God has the power to control everything, why is my request denied? Good question. It can be confusing. It can be frustrating. Why do some people get miracles and others don't? Why, when we pray for people who are sick, some of them get well and some die? I prayed for a lot of people who got well. I prayed for a lot of people who didn't get well. That's frustrating. Why do some people get relief from their pain and others don't? Why do some couples pray for a child and they get a child and others, just as sincere and claiming the promise of God, they don't get a child and their hearts are broken by that? In other words, why does God sometimes say yes and why does God sometimes say no? Well, when you think about it, there are some mysteries, but there are also some obvious things. For instance, one thing that's obvious is this. When two people are praying for the opposite thing, obviously God can't answer both. If a child is praying for it to snow so they don't have to go to school, and the parent is praying for it to be clear weather so they can go to work, God is obviously going to say no to one of them. Today, all over America at football games, people are praying for the opposing team. Half of them will be disappointed. I don't really think God cares who wins the Super Bowl. I'm not sure that he answers a prayer for a team. But even if he did, only 50% would get it. It's like, I'm praying for my candidate, you're praying for your candidate. So clearly, obviously, a lot of prayer, when people are praying for opposite things, that's not gonna work. Then there are some prayers that we pray, and if God was to answer them, he'd have to take away the free will and the free choice of other people. What if somebody came up to you and said, I am praying that God forces you to marry me? That ain't gonna happen, because God's not gonna take away your free will. And that person can pray all they want, God's gonna say no. Because God is not in the business of taking away your free choice. He made you in his image, and he's not gonna overrule your choice. God is not gonna force you to marry somebody. God can't force you to fall in love with somebody. And by the way, God can't force somebody to stay in love with you. And some of you have prayed that prayer. God, make my spouse not leave. But they left. Why? Because God doesn't force anybody to do the right thing. He doesn't force you to do the right thing. You make bad choices all your life. He doesn't force you to do the right thing. That'd make you a puppet. And so he doesn't force anybody else. And so God, if you're praying, God, I want you to change that person's mind and make them do this. Well, God says, I don't do that with you. Why would I do that with anybody else? So that's a logical reason why people, you know, pray for things that actually don't happen. But then there's another reason, and it's sometimes when we pray for sick people. And if everybody you prayed for never died, then anybody with great faith would never die. And we aren't meant to live on this planet forever. You're meant to live forever. I want to live forever. I just don't want to live on this planet forever. Because there's sorrow and suffering and sadness and sickness and racism and injustice and sexual abuse and harassment and all kinds of war and all kinds of other things. I'm glad I don't have to live on this planet forever. I want to live forever, just not here. I want to live in a place where there's no sorrow, no suffering, no sadness, no sickness, no tears. And so everybody you pray for when they're sick, most of the time they may get well, but there is going to be one point where the prayer is not going to be answered, because God never meant for you to live forever on earth. Everybody dies at some point. And I don't know why we need to be shocked by that, because the fact is we're all terminal. People say, well, she's got a terminal illness. You have a terminal illness. Every human being is going to die at some point. So why are we shocked that at some point somebody dies? That's just not logical. But in spite of those things that, well, I can see that. There are times when God says no. It's just unexplainable. And there are times when you ask a legitimate request, you don't see anything wrong with it, and it doesn't happen. And it makes no sense. That's when it's unbearable. That's when it's heartbreaking. That's when you go, I don't get it. I don't get it. That kind of no. And when that happens, the God says no, that is the greatest test of faith in your life. Prayers that are not answered the way you want will absolutely be the single greatest test in your life. And God say, are you gonna trust me or are you not? So we need to deal with this. What do you do when God says no? Particularly the times when there's the tragic accident and the unexplained death and the dashed dream and the unfulfilled longing, and you've prayed and you've longed and longed and longed for it, and the denied request, and that's when it feels unbearable. Today, what I want to do is two things. First, I want to give you just a few possible reasons why God says no in your life. Two or three. There could be thousands. There probably are. I'm sure there are hundreds of reasons, legitimate reasons, why God would say no to a particular request that we can't see. But I'm just going to give you three. Then, more important than that, the explanations, I want to share with you what to do when God says no in your life. Because you're going to get a lot of no's in your life. You're going to get a lot of yeses, but you're going to get a lot of no's too. Now, as I said, there may be 1,000 good reasons why God says no. But before I share with you three of the possible explanations, I wrote a caution there. Notice on your outline, there's a caution, a warning. Use these reasons I'm about to share with you to comfort yourself, but never, never use them with somebody in pain because you don't know why God said no to them. So I'm gonna give you three reasons, but it could be none of these reasons for somebody you're talking to. And it's very presumptuous for you to assume you know why. And it doesn't help them. Explanations never comfort. If my wife were to drop dead tomorrow night, and I knew the reason, it wouldn't make it any less painful. We often think if we understand why something happened, it'll make it easier. It does not. But when someone dies or tragedy happens, our first question is why? It's okay to ask why. Even Jesus did on the cross. My God, why? But he didn't get an answer. And what are you gonna do when you don't get the answer? Some things you're gonna only understand in heaven. So never presume to know why God does something unless he tells you.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
One of the things you ask us about the most here on Daily Hope are the Bible scripture cards. We get a ton of requests for them. So Pastor Rick has added another deck of scripture cards with 40 of the key verses from the 40 Days of Prayer series that will transform your prayer life. These colorful, eye-catching cards will help you memorize the Word of God so that you have it when you need it most, something you hear Pastor Rick talking about all the time. Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a gift to share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world, we'll send you the 40 Days of Prayer scripture cards to say thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of the 40 Days of Prayer scripture cards or text the word daily to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or text the word daily to 800-600-5004. There are only 3 days left to get yours, so don't wait. Now, let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Rick Warren.
A clear example of this is the story of Job. If you open your Bible right to the middle, it almost comes to the story of Job. Job was the wealthiest man in the world. And on a single day, he went from hero to zero. He lost everything. All of his children were killed by marauding terrorists. He had a big family. They were all killed on one day. All of his crops burned down. All of his cattle and sheep and goats died. He lost all of his wealth in a day. And then he gets a terrible, incurable, painful disease. You think you've had a bad day. All on one day. And Job goes out and sits down on the ground in an ash heap just to mourn and grieve in his despair. But Job had three friends. And those three friends come, and they at first they do the right thing. The three friends come, and they sit down with Job, and they sit there in silence with him for 7 days. That's what a friend does. When somebody's in grief, you show up and you shut up. The deeper the pain is in somebody's life, the fewer words you use. Somebody's having a bad day or day, you can talk with them for 30 minutes about it. If somebody just had a loved one die, you just need to show up and shut up. People always say, I don't know what to say to that person who had that tragedy. Don't say anything. You just need the presence of your life. The ministry of presence. And for 7 days, Job's friends sit there and they're the best friends you could possibly be. They sit with him in the ground, around him, without saying a word for 7 days. They're just carrying the pain with him. They didn't get in trouble till they opened their mouths. And you won't either, until you open your mouth. And the rest of the book of Job is they start trying to explain the unexplainable. Job, you're suffering because of this, or maybe because of that. And they're offering all these different reasons. They think they're helping Job by offering explanations. They are not. They're making it worse. And the point is, they get it all wrong. They don't know why this is happening. And at the end of the book, God comes, and before he restores Job's health and actually restored everything else, gave him twice as much wealth as he had had before. God speaks to Job, and then he speaks to Job's friends, and he castigates them for trying to explain the unexplainable instead of just leaving it as a mystery. Here's what he says. Look up here on the screen. God says to Job's three friends, I'm angry with you, for you have not been right in what you said about me. My servant Job is the only one who spoke the truth and got it right in all the entire book. Now, I like that. That's encouraging because a lot of the chapters, Job is just flat out complaining to God. God, this is terrible. I hate what's going on. I haven't done anything wrong here. And he's complaining. And God says, you're right. It's okay to complain when you're in pain. God says that's okay. What's not okay is giving an explanation that isn't true. Isn't true. Now, the reason I'm belaboring this point is because you're always on thin ice when you try to explain something that God doesn't explain. And sometimes you'll hear people, well-meaning, stand up and they say, well, that hurricane hit that city. That is the judgment of God. No, it is not. I know that for a couple reasons, practical and biblical. I remember when Katrina hit and it hit New Orleans, that great hurricane hit that city. People call it the Sin City. And they said, God, there were people actually saying, that is the judgment of God on the Sin City. Well, evidently God did a lousy job because he missed this most sinful part. The most sinful part of New Orleans is Bourbon Street, the red light district, the drug zone. And that part is the highest part in the city and it was untouched. So God missed. Everybody else got hurt except the worst part of New Orleans. It was untouched. It's the truth. You can go look it up. If God truly judges America, and he has every right to, but he hasn't. But if he does, I will tell you this. It's not going to start with hurting unbelievers. He's going to start with the church. How do I know that? 1 Peter chapter 4. Look up here on the screen. The Bible says, 1 Peter 4:17, the time of judgment will begin first with God's own people, the family of God. If God decides to judge America, or any other nation for that matter, he's gonna start with us. He's gonna start with his own family. He disciplines his own family, not the neighbor kids. So what you see out there is not the judgment of God, because the Bible says if it were, he'd start with us. And what we're not doing right is his own children. Now, having given you all those cautions, I wanna give you three possible, of maybe 1,000, reasons why God says no. Get out your pencil and you wanna write these down. Three of the many reasons God sometimes says no. Number one, God says no when he has a bigger perspective. God says no when he has a bigger perspective. He can see what you can't see. God sees the whole picture. We don't. We have a limited perspective. God sees the wider view. We don't. God can see the future. You can't. God will always see stuff you can't see. He can see around the curve. He can see it 10 years in the future. He can see the implications of every decision. Hebrews 4 says this, chapter 4, verse 13. He, God, knows about everyone everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide open to the all-seeing eyes of our living God. Nothing can be hidden from him. Now notice all of the all-inclusive terms. Everyone, everywhere, everything, all, nothing can be hidden. He's saying God sees it all. You don't see it all. I don't see it all. And sometimes God doesn't answer the prayer the way you want because he sees what you don't see. You see, our problem with our limited perspective is that we don't see the unintended consequences of what we're asking. God can see how the dominoes fall over. God can see that every prayer that is answered yes starts a chain reaction. You don't see it, but he does. He knows how that decision that you just asked for is gonna influence your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. He can see multi-generational. You can't. And so God sometimes says no, because he sees what you don't see. If you could see your life the way God does, Would your prayers be different? Yep. If you could see your life the way God does, would it solve many of your problems? Yep. You'd never have unexpected trouble. Oh, I didn't see that coming, because you'd see it coming. You'd never have any unexpected difficulty. You could prepare in advance. You'd never ask for the wrong thing. You'd go, I don't want to ask for that because it'll create that in my life. I've asked you this before during this series. Do you give your children everything they want? Of course not. Why? Because you love them, but also because you can see things they can't see. No parent would give their child everything they ask for. God loves you too much to give you everything you ask for. He can see what you can't see. Now the fact is, when I ask God for something, I can't imagine the implications, the consequences, the results. I don't know what good or bad that's gonna bring, what's gonna be set in motion, the consequences. Every prayer has consequences to it, and God can see ahead. Now, sometimes God says no to your prayer to protect you from something that you can't see, to guard you. Look at this next verse on your outline, Proverbs 2, verse 8. God guards the course of the just, and he protects the way of the faithful. Notice guards and protects. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean God takes you all out of trouble. Doesn't mean he takes you out of the frying pan you're in. He may leave you in the frying pan, he just keeps you from getting burned. Remember when we studied the great guy in the Old Testament, Daniel, and he was doing the wrong thing and the king was gonna throw him to the lions to be eaten? And Daniel prays, God, keep me out of the lion's den. God said, no. He put him in the lion's den and shut the lion's mouth. Bigger story. Bigger story. Better results. Better miracle. Remember the story of the three Hebrew men who had defied the king and wouldn't obey him? He says, we're going to throw you in that giant fire pit, that fiery furnace. And they said, Lord, keep us out of the fiery furnace. But God said, no. He let them go into the fiery furnace, walked through it with them. They were untouched. They were burned. And when they came out, the ropes that had tied them down were burnt off. Sometimes you'll say, God, don't let me go through this fiery trial. God says, you're going to go through it. But when you come out on the other side, you're going to be free. Free from that habit. Free from that person. Free from that fear. Free from that guilt. Free from that shame. The things that have been binding you up are going to be burned off. And it wouldn't happen unless you went through the fire. Sometimes God says no to set you free.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions that we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be right back to close out our time today, but first, one of the things you ask us about most here on Daily Hope are the Bible scripture cards. We get a ton of requests for them. So Pastor Rick has added another deck of scripture cards with 40 of the key verses from this 40 Days of Prayer series that will transform your prayer life. Here's Rick to tell you more.
Friends, one of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize scripture. God tells us in Proverbs 7, verse 2, guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and also keep them deep within your heart. Now, you may not think you've got a good memory, but the truth is, we all remember what's important to us. For instance, you remember phone numbers and dates that you care about. I've heard people say they can't memorize anything, yet they can quote a song lyrics from their childhood, or they can rattle off a statistic for their favorite baseball player. You see, memory is a skill that you can learn, and it's also a muscle that you can strengthen. In fact, study after study has shown that memorizing scripture will cause your brain to have a stronger memory in other areas too. So when you memorize scripture, you're actually benefiting a lot of other areas in your life. Now, here's how I want to help you memorize God's Word. We've put together a new packet, a new set of cards with verses from the Bible for you to memorize. And these are good, easily memorizable verses. And you can put these cards around your house, or you can put them on your refrigerator, or, you know, tape them to the mirror where you brush your teeth, or you can put them by your bed, or in your car, in the visor. It doesn't really matter, but they're very beautiful, and they will keep these Bible verses, God's Word, before you every day, helping you to memorize the Word of God. I hope you'll take advantage of this new resource.
Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a gift to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world, we'll send you the 40 Days of Prayer scripture cards to say thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of the 40 Days of Prayer scripture cards, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There's only 3 days left to get yours, so don't wait. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.